You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on July 20th, 2023. And this week, we're talking about social media and the way that others respond to the religious content that we might share on there. Many Christians use social media, at least in part, to share content that is of a religious nature, that has some message in it from the Bible, whether it's articles or images or videos or anything like that. However, if you do this on a regular basis, then there's a good chance you've had people block, unfollow, or unfriend you on that social media site that you're sharing that content to. And often, you won't even know that that's happened. So what do we do about this? We're going to talk about that in our episode today. For links to the story we're talking about, as well as other related materials, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/07-2023. Now for our story this week. 1 in 6 Americans have taken steps to see less of someone on social media due to religious content. From Pew Research, some Americans use social media for religious purposes, such as posting prayer requests, following religious leaders, or sharing articles or videos about religion. However, what people post or see online about religion does not always make a good impression. A recent Pew Research Center survey shows that 17% of U.S. adults have unfollowed, unfriended, blocked, or changed their settings to see less of someone on social media because of religious content the person posted or shared. Atheists, 36%, and agnostics, 29%, are more likely than most other religious groups in this analysis to say they have blocked or unfollowed others due to religious content. Some 20% of Jews have done this, as have 13% of Protestants and 12% of Catholics. Later in the article, it says this: on the flip side, far fewer Americans, 3%, believe that they themselves have been unfollowed or blocked due to religious content that they posted. Among U.S. adults overall, 17% say they post information about religion on social media. That includes 2% who do so daily, 3% who do so weekly, and 12% who do so monthly or less often. The vast majority of Americans say they never post about religion on social media. So according to that last part of the excerpt that we just read, about 1 in 6 U.S. adults post about religion on social media. They share things about the Bible, about articles, or share verses, or that article mentioned prayer requests, that those things are shared by 1 in 6 Americans on social media. And probably the percentage among the audience of this podcast here would be higher than the general population. But this means that if you post religious content on social media, just like I do, and I know a lot of you do, you are in the minority. Most people just don't do that. But as we read at the beginning of that article, 1 in 6 U.S. adults have unfriended, unfollowed, blocked, or done something else to see someone's posts less often or even stop seeing them altogether because they shared something that was religious. That means that if you are one of the ones who shares religious material on social media, then it is very likely that this has been done to you. And seeing as how only 3% believe that they have been unfollowed or blocked for sharing religious content, it's very possible that this has happened to you and you may not even know about it. In fact, before listening to this episode here, you may not have ever considered this, that this was even a possibility that someone could block you. Maybe they never said anything to you about what you posted, but they just blocked you or unfollowed you or whatever it is, and they don't see your content anymore. So if you are among the 17% of U.S. adults who share religious content to social media, you might be wondering, if it's this likely that people are just going to not pay attention and going to actively do something to not see what we're sharing, is it even worth it? Should Christians or even should churches bother to post religious content on social media? Before seeing those statistics, I would have answered that question, yes, it is worth it to share content on social media. After seeing these statistics, my answer is still yes. But there are a couple of points that I believe are worth considering in light of these stats that we read about in this article. So we're going to talk about all of that here in our episode today. First point I want us to be reminded of is this, that it is still good to share religious content on social media. So much communication today is done on the internet and through social media. In an article I wrote a couple years ago called The Ancient Paths in a Digital Age, and it will be linked in the show notes if you want to check that out. But in that article, I talked about how the marketplace where Paul taught in Athens is in a lot of ways comparable to what we see in social media today. Notice what the Bible says about that in Acts 17, 16, and 17. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. So there in the marketplace in Athens, Paul found a random gathering of people and spoke to whoever happened to be there. He was doing what Jesus described in the parable of the sower, scattering the seed wherever it might fall, hoping it might land on someone with a good and honest heart. And if you haven't read that article, again, it will be linked in the show notes, but in that article, we go over different examples in the New Testament, like that marketplace in Athens, that describe different aspects of social media and the internet and the parallels that are there. But when we think about Paul preaching the gospel and preaching with whoever happened to be present there in Athens, remember what he wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, that I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. When we share religious content on social media, we are scattering the seed that will hopefully find people who need to hear it, are willing to consider it, and will be curious enough to ask questions and study further. And not only that, but when we share religious content on social media, we have the potential to reach people that we might never have a conversation with in person. Now, in-person interactions are still important, and we'll talk about that later in the episode today. But we can help plant seeds that might not have been planted if we had not used social media to do it. The second point is that we should be mindful of how our posts on social media are received. Now, let me be clear from the beginning on this point. I am not saying that we should be silent, which should be obvious from the first point, that we are just not going to say things that people might not want to hear. I'm not saying that. I'm also not saying that we should compromise the truth. Remember what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. In other words, whether they wanted to hear the truth or not, Timothy needed to preach it. That being said, the preaching that Timothy was to do in the local church is a little bit different from the posting, sharing, and retweeting that we might do on social media. So there are a few things that I believe that we need to avoid in order to keep the lines of communication open as much as possible so that we can continue to plant the seed of the gospel in the hearts of others rather than being blocked by them. So there are a few types of things that I believe we need to avoid. Number one, avoid posting excessively. I'll admit, I have muted or unfollowed, I haven't blocked or unfriended anyone, but muted or unfollowed people over their religious posts. But it's usually for this reason here. It's not because I disagree with them. It's not because they displayed a bad attitude or something like that. But it's because they have flooded my social media feed by rapidly sharing dozens of posts at a time to where all I am seeing is what they are posting. And social media then becomes almost useless. Their intention is good, but you get to where people just want to just silence that person or mute that person or unfollow that person because they're just posting too much. For me personally, I don't even share all the content that I produce from my personal social media account for this reason. I don't want to bombard people with content to the point that they take steps to never see anything that I post again. I typically share one or two posts a day, and that's usually it. It's good to post enough that people know to look for you when they have questions or are interested, and they'll see what you share from time to time, but don't post so much that they tune you out or unfollow you altogether. Number two, avoid posts that misrepresent error. Now, we need to expose error and refute false teaching. The New Testament is clear on that, but that doesn't mean we misrepresent it, because that will either lead to an argument, which will put us at a disadvantage because we didn't portray the other side accurately, or those that we were hoping to correct will just shut us off and not listen to us anymore. Number three, avoid posts that misrepresent the truth. Many religious posts that can be shared on social media either oversimplify the truth or have various religious errors that have tainted it. 1 Peter 4:11 says that we are to speak as the oracles of God, which means that we are speaking the very words of God. In order to do this, we have to represent the word of God accurately, even on social media. So we need to be careful that what we are sharing, what we are posting, is accurately representing the word of God. Number four, avoid posts that are asking for a fight. Now, this is good for engagement, as they call it, on social media, but it's also a quick way for people who see the post and the comments that follow it to mute your post without ever participating in the discussion, and then you've lost your chance to be an influence on them because of that. And number five, avoid posts that are condescending to the other side. I mentioned that when I've unfollowed or muted someone over religious content, it's usually because they post excessively. But the second most frequent reason I might do this is because of someone's condescending attitude toward someone who believes differently than they do. And in my experience, your experience may be different, but in my experience, I've seen this done most often, or this being shown most often by those who are progressive Christians, or those who have a higher level of formal education, and really a lot of times those overlap, and there's a reason why they overlap, and that may be another topic for another episode. But there are several people that I follow on social media that I don't necessarily agree with. They go to different types of churches, but it's helpful for me to see their perspective, and even if it's just content that gives me an idea for this podcast, it's helpful for me to see what they are posting. But for those who have this condescending, smug attitude because they believe that they're smarter than everyone else and they are very, very clear on that, I have little patience for people who are like that. Now, those are just my two cents. You can take them for what you're worth. You can add to that list and you can disagree with me on those if you want to, and say, well, no, I can do all of those things, and I can post 24 times a day, and I can start fights, and I can do all this, and you can do that, and you know, see how that goes, and see how effective that's going to be. And again, this is my opinion on that. But here's the bottom line. Social media can be a great way to spread the truth of God's word. And some people may block or unfriend you or unfollow you for sharing the truth, and not necessarily because you did anything wrong. But that does not mean that we should encourage people to block us as if that's some kind of badge of honor. The third point, and the final point that I want us to think about here today, social media cannot be the extent of our efforts to reach others. Several years ago, I had a conversation with another preacher. We were talking about preachers receiving support from a church or from churches to preach the gospel, as passages like 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 14 talk about. And he told me that he believed that a man could be supported full-time and only do online teaching, whether it's writing articles and sharing them online, producing videos to teach people online, answering questions via email or direct message or things like that. And I told him that I agree that there is plenty of potential work to be done, that someone could do, could spend all of their time doing those types of things. The main challenge, though, would be to convince brethren that that type of work was worthy of full-time support. Now, that conversation occurred almost 10 years ago. So he was pretty forward-thinking on all of this. There may be more brethren today who might see this as a legitimate way to, or legitimate reason to support someone for spreading the gospel if they're doing it through this means and only this means. But even then, social media or the internet in general cannot be the extent of our efforts to teach others. At some point, there needs to be some in-person contact with a potential convert. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch needed Philip to join him in his chariot so he could be taught and then be baptized into Christ. In Acts chapter 9, Saul, when he got to Damascus, needed Ananias to come to him so that he could be baptized to have his sins washed away. And in Acts 10, Cornelius needed Peter to come to his house so that he could learn the truth and be baptized to receive the forgiveness of sins. Now, we may, through our efforts to share the gospel online, we may help someone, help get someone to the point that they understand the truth and are ready to obey the gospel. But then someone else who is located where they are meets them, studies with them, and baptizes them into Christ. That can happen, and that is perfectly okay. Jesus actually talked about this principle in John chapter 4, verses 37 and 38. He said, "For in this case the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." What Jesus was saying there is that one person may do the work of preparing someone to obey the gospel, but never see the fruit of it. But even then, they still played an important role. Jesus said in the verse right before that, in verse 36, that he who sows and he who reaps rejoice together. They are fellow workers in this. Both of them are important. Both of them played a role. So we may never see the fruit that is produced from our efforts to spread the gospel online, but that doesn't mean that our efforts were fruitless. So as we wrap all of this up, some final thoughts is that we can do a lot to share the gospel and teach the truth online, including on social media. However, many people will ignore it, and some will even go so far as to unfriend or unfollow or block you online because of your posts. Some of that is going to be unavoidable. However, we should not make it our goal to push as many people to block us as we can. Instead, we need to realize that we're simply trying to plant and water and trust in God to give the increase. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this episode to be interesting, informative, and helpful. For links to the story we talked about, as well as other related materials, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/072023. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others that you think would be interested in it, that is always appreciated. Also, if you're listening to this, remember that we are uploading video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you want to see this on video, the videos also have the verses on the screen as we are reading those, and the articles that we're reading from. It has the text on the screen. So you may prefer the video. That's available to you if you want to view it that way. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see other videos that we post here. I mentioned very quickly three examples from the book of Acts with the Ethiopian eunuch and Saul in Damascus and Cornelius when Peter went to his household. We've covered all of those in recent videos on our Bible study on the book of Acts. Those are also being uploaded to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So when you subscribe, you'll not only see the podcast videos, but also videos like that that we are producing. And if you see a news story that you think would make for a good discussion, please send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.